Okay, let's continue towards the bottom of Nun Hei Amud Beis. We're about five lines up from the bottom. The Gemara says, Tanya, we learned in the following Tosefta, Amr Yeshua, Arba Devarim Ha'oso Son, Patim Adin Adam V'chai B'din Neshamayim. There are four things that the person who does them is exempt Midini Adam in this world, V'chai B'din Neshamayim, but he is liable in Shemayim. V'eluin. In other words, we can't convict this person in a Bezin, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hold him responsible. Ve'eluhin, these are the four. Haporitz Geter Bifnei Behemes Chavir, a person who breaks open a fence in front of his friend's animal. And then, of course, the animal gets out and runs away. Ve'akofiv Kamaso Shel Chavero Bifnei Adleika, and a person who bends the stalk, the standing grain of his friend, in front of a fire, and it catches fire. V'hasocher edei shekel lahayid, and a person who hires false witnesses to testify. V'hayodea edus lechaver, and a person who knows testimony for his friend, ve'enomei lo, but he doesn't testify for him. And we're going to go through each of these four cases. So the Gemara says, Amar Mar, Mar had said, meaning Rav Yeshua and the Braisa had told us, Haporitz geter b'fnei behemes chaver. One of his examples of a case where a person is going to be pater medinei adam v'chai b'dinei shamayim is the case where a person breaks open a fence before the animal of his friend and the animal runs away. Now, for each of these cases, what we're going to have to understand is why exactly is it that you're going to be exempt medinei adam? Why is it that we can't convict you in our courts? And why is it that what you're doing is so bad that HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds you responsible? Okay, so Amar Mar, Haparitz Geter B'fnei Behemes Chaver. So Hechidami, what exactly is this case? Ilim B'Kosov Bari, if we're discussing a case of where it's a sturdy, healthy wall, and it's this sturdy, healthy wall that you knocked down, and the animal runs away, and now Rav Yeshua is telling us that you're going to be Patur Medinei Adam. We can't convict you in our courts. Well, is that true? You can't convict him in this court. He knocked down a perfectly good wall. Medinei Adam Nami Nechayev. We should hold him responsible in our courts because he knocked down a perfectly good wall. So Ella Bekolsa Ru'ua must be that he was knocking down a shaky wall, a rickety wall. And so the wall itself, by knocking down the wall, because it's ready to be knocked down, so we can't say that you suffered a loss in that respect. And so therefore, we're not going to hold you liable in our courts. Okay. Now, the important thing to note is, okay, so why exactly is it that you're patur medinei adam if you suffer this personal loss? Didn't you suffer this personal loss? So Rashi tells us that for these cases, Rav Yeshua is of the opinion that Grama ben Yizakin is patur. We know that this is a famous debate, but Rav Yeshua is of the opinion that Grama ben Yizakin, causing a loss to be suffered without directly carrying out the act to suffer the personal loss, is going to be patur. And so in this case, you didn't take the animal out, you made it accessible, you broke down the fence, and by breaking down the fence, that allowed the animal to run away. Okay, Amar Mar, Hakofev Kamaso Shechavero, if a person bends the stalk of his friend, and he bends it in front of a fire, and then it catches fire. So now the Gemara wants to know. So that was case two from Rabbi Yeshua. So now the Gemara says, hey, what exactly is the circumstances here? If you want to tell me that the case is where the fire is able to catch on to the grain with a normal, regular wind, so then you should be liable even b'dinei adam. Why wouldn't we be able to convict you in court? You're basically actively lighting this grain on fire by bending it towards the fire when the fire is able to easily catch onto the grain. So the Gemara says, so Ela Demata Baruch Shena Metsuya, must be then that the fire was only able to reach the grain by means of a wind that's not normal, that's not a typical wind. And it's in this circumstance that we're going to say that you're going to be Pater Bindini Adam. For Rav Ashi, now Rav Ashi actually has a different explanation for how to understand the second case of Rabbi Yeshua, of Kofiv Kamaso Shachavero. That the case is that there's really two people involved. Rav Ashi Amar, Tamun Itmar. The case over here is a case of Tamun. Mishum Deshavi Tamun Be'esh. What happened is that Ruvain lit a fire. And that fire was headed for Shimon's grain. Now, the halacha is, though, that anything that's concealed in a haystack would not be liable for. So, meaning to say, if Reuven is lights a fire and the fire catches onto Shimon's haystack, but there's expensive clothing that's buried inside of that haystack, so he's not going to be liable to compensate for the clothing. That's the halacha of tumun, of something that's hidden, something that's concealed. So what you did essentially in this case is Reuven lights the fire and you cover over the grain and you render it, you render this grain to be tumun. And so therefore, now that the grain is tumun, now that it's concealed, the owner of that grain is not going to be able to collect damages. So Rav Ashi Amar Tamun Itmar. The case of here is Tamun Mishum Tishavi Tamun Ve'esh. You made it into a case of Tamun, and because it's Tamun, you're not going to be the owner of the grain would not be able to collect damages, and therefore because you were the person who resulted, in him not being able to collect damages. So that's a case, according to Ravashi, that's how we understand the second case of Kafiv Kamaso Shachavero, Bifneat Leika. Okay. Now let's keep going through the cases. Case three, Amar Mar Hasokar Eli Sheker. Right? The third case that we discuss is if you hire false witnesses. So the Gemara says, Hey Chidem, what exactly are the circumstances, or what'd you do? Ilem Lenafshe, if you want to tell me that you hired the false witnesses for yourself, meaning to say that you wanted to you wanted to collect money from somebody, and so you hired false witnesses to say that Reuven owes me $100. Well, if that's the case, then you should have to pay money if you were successful in extracting that money from your friend by means of these false witnesses. We should be able to hold you responsible even in our courts. Ella l'chavit. So therefore, it must be that the case is where you're hiring false witnesses for your friend. Meaning to say, I know that my brother is owed money by this guy, and so I hire false witnesses to testify that this guy owes my brother money. So in that case, I use these witnesses in order to suffer him a loss to pay my brother money. And so in this case, though, I'm going to be putman in the adam b'chavit din neshamayim. And of course, the question is, well, why don't we just collect the money from the person who has it, right? Why don't we just collect the money from my brother? My brother accepted that money. So the Zabalitosis talk about that. Okay. And so the fourth and final case that Rav Yeshua had mentioned is, let's say you know testimony for your friend and you don't testify. So we said your patman din adam v'chayv din nishmai. So the Gemara says, but Ma'iskin, what exactly are we dealing with over here? Ilim v'betrei. If we're talking about two witnesses, so the Pshita, of course they're going to be liable. Deraisahu, because we're dealing with a deraisa. What's the pasuk? Imlo yagid v'nisa avono. Right, the pasuk tells us regarding the psukim of withholding testimony. The pasuk in Vayikra Hey says v'nefesh kisechta v'shama kol ala v'hu eid ora o yada imlo yagid v'nasa avono. That if he doesn't relate the testimony, then Vinasa Avano, he's going to have to literally to tolerate, to bear the sin, the iniquity. So it's pretty clear, of course he's going to be held responsible in Shemayim. El Bechad. And so therefore, it must be that we're not dealing with two witnesses who are withholding testimony. We're talking about one person. And so what can one person accomplish? We know that in order to extract money, you're going to need two witnesses. So what can one witness accomplish? Well, one witness coming to testify is able to impose a shvuah. He's able to require, to force the defendant to make a shvuah that he doesn't owe the money. And if he doesn't swear, then he's actually going to have to pay the money. Okay, so those are the four cases of Rabbi Yeshua. Now the Gemara says, well, wait a second. Rabbi Yeshua tells us that there are four cases in which a person is patman din yonam v'chayv din nishmayim. So Gemara says, v'su leka, there are really no more than those four cases. There are no more cases in Shas that are discussed by the Tanaim that a person would be patman din yonam v'chayv din nishmayim. V'yika, but I thought there are more cases. What are the cases? So Gemara says, asimin ha'osa v'sam v'shaliach chavero nishbar. So what are the cases? Ha'osa malacha b'mechatas. If a person does malacha, does work with mechatas, ubeparas chatas, patim indinyanam chabidin nishmat. We know that the halacha is that if a person becomes tamei meis, if a person comes contaminated because he came into contact with a dead body, he became tamei by means of a dead body. So, in order for him to become tari, we have to sprinkle the ashes of para aduma on it, right? We have to take a red cow, and you have to burn it, you have to shecht it, and you have to burn it, and then you use the ashes, you put the ashes in water, special water, and then you use that water in order to sprinkle the person who is contaminated. So the halacha is that if you do malach, if you use the para aduma, obviously before shechted, if you do work with that paraduma, that paraduma is now invalid. You can't use that in order to make efer paraduma. Similarly, though, it's not only the cow that you're not allowed to do malacha with, but if you did malacha using the ashes, using the waters of to be used for efer paraduma, that's also going to be make the waters invalid. Now, how do you work using mechatas, using the waters of this efer paraduma? So Rashi gives us an example. For example, you use them to measure weights. That's a form of doing malacha. So now the question is, well, let's say you did malacha using mechatas or using the para that was supposed to be for the paraduma. So the halacha is patur midin adam v'chai v'din nishmaim. So you see that there is another case out there where you're patur midin adam v'chai v'din nishmaim. Likewise, va'ika, isn't there also the other case that we find hanosin sa'amam aves b'fnei behemus chavir? If you put poison in front of your friend's animal, the halacha is patur midin adam v'chai v'din nishmaim. You're going to be patur midin adam v'chai v'din nishmaim. So you see, there's another case. So we have two cases so far. A third case, va'ika, isn't there also a case of hashaleach esabei rabbi achir shot v'katan? If you send a fire, and this is a famous machlokas for Shlokas Rabbi Yochanan, how to exactly to understand this case, that Be'ezer Hashem will discuss, that if you send a fire using the through a chir shot v'katan, and that ultimately results in some sort of tremendous loss to somebody else, the lach is patur midin adam v'chai v'din nishmaim. So there's a third case. Va'ika, isn't there also a fourth case, a mavis haschavir, if a person frightens his friend, he scares him so much that his friend becomes deaf? Patur midin adam v'chai v'din nishmaim. That's also another case, a fifth case. Va'ika, nishbara kado b'rishos harabim v'lo sok. If a person, if his flask, if his jug gets broken in rishos harabim, and he doesn't remove the flask. Vin nafla gemala, or his camel falls, v'lo hamida, and he doesn't stand it up. And then, as a result of those items being in the middle of the Rishus Harabim, somebody else gets hurt or something gets damaged. The lachad Rameir Mechayev Bezekon. The Rameir holds you liable for those damages. V'chachamim omrim, patur midin adam v'chai midin nishmaim. So we have a number of cases. We have five cases over here where you're patur midin adam v'chai midin nishmaim. So why is it that Rav Shua is walking in and saying, oh, there are four cases in Shas that you're patur midin adam v'chai midin nishmaim? So Gemara says, in. The truth is, you're right. Mia ikatuba. There are many cases where you're going to be patur midin adam v'chai midin nishmaim. The question is then why did Rabbi Yeshua highlight these four cases? Vahani yisrich le. Well, these cases was necessary for Rabbi Yeshua to point out. He felt it necessary to point out that these cases you're going to be patur midin adam v'chai midin nishmaim. Why? Why was it necessary? What would you have thought? You would have thought that you shouldn't be liable, not b'dini adam, and not even b'dini shemayim. So kamashalon. So that's what Rav Yeshua has come to teach us, is that in these four cases, you're chayev b'dini shemayim. Now, why would you think that you should not be chayev b'dini shemayim in these four cases? So now the Gemara goes through each of the four cases and explains why you would think that you should be patur even b'dini shemayim. So Gemara says, "Haparitz geder, for the case of breaking open the fence b'fnei behemus chavero in front of your friend's animal, ma'u d'seima, what would you have thought to say? Kivin de l'mistere kai, because it was ready to be broken. Ma'avid, what did you do exactly? You didn't do anything. It was ready to be broken down. So b'dini shemayim namilo l'chayit. So you should not be liable even in Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't hold you liable either. Kamash Shalon, and so that's Rav Yeshua's Kiddush, is that even though the fence was ready to be broken down, it's a rickety fence, you're still going to be liable between the Shemayim. The second case, HaKoviv Kamaso Shel Chaver. Now we know that there were two explanations that we gave before, so we're going to have to explain for them. So when you bend the stalk of your friend, also, you would have thought, Ma'udah Seyma, what do you have thought? Lema mi haviyadana, you should have the argument. You should say, well, who knows that, who would have known that asya ruach shena matui? Who knows, who would have known that a ruach shena matui and a not normal wind was going to come and catch the fire onto the grain? Ubedina shemayim naimelo l'chayv. And so you shouldn't be liable even for dina shemayim. Kamash London, so that's what Yeshua's Chiddush is. Now that was the first explanation of the second case. We know that Rav Ashi explained that it was really a case of Taman, where you cover over the stack of grain. Rav Ashi Damar Nami Taman Itmar. For Rav Ashi, said that the case is a case of Taman. Mao Desema, what do you thought? Ana Kisui Kasisi Nihalach. I was trying to help you out. I was covering over your grain so that the fire wouldn't burn it down so fast. So Ubedin Shemayim Naimelo L'chayv. So I shouldn't be chayv even in Dina Shemayim. Kamash Malon, and so that's what Rav Yeshua is coming to teach us, is that you're chayv din shemayim. What about the third case? Vasocher eidei sheker nami. For the case of hiring false witnesses, ma'u d'seima, what would you have thought to say? Why would you think that you should be pater even b'din shemayim? Lema divrei rav, divrei atamad, divrei mishomen. That you should have the argument is that between the words of the teacher and the words of the student, who do you listen to? Meaning to say, why would you listen to me when I'm asking you to give false testimony? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you not to give false testimony. So the fact that you gave false testimony, that's on your own volition. So you shouldn't be liable even for Dina Shemayim. So Kamash Lon, and so that's what the Chiddush of Rabbi Yeshua is that you're going to be liable B'din Shemayim for that case. In the fourth and final case, Rabbi Yeshua told us, why does he have to highlight that case where you know testimony for your friend, and you didn't give the testimony? Nami, what would you have thought to say? Well, who says that if I would give the testimony, have a moda, that he would have admitted to owing the money? Dilma have a mishtav l'shakra. Maybe the defendant would have sworn falsely, and so my testimony would have been meaningless. Ubedin shemayim naim lo chayv, and so therefore I shouldn't be chayv even in din shemayim. Kamash v'lan, and so that's what Rav Yeshua's Chiddush is. Okay, so just to summarize what we've spoken so far, Rav Yeshua walks in and he says there are four cases where the person who does them is going to be patur min din adam v'chayv din shemayim. What are the four cases? Breaking open a fence and allowing your friend's animal to go free, bending a stalk of your friend in front of a fire, hiring false witnesses, and a person who knows testimony and doesn't testify in court. And so we go through each of these four cases, and we explain that the case of breaking over the fence has to be a rickety wall, because if it's a sturdy wall, you should be liable for the wall. The second case of bending the stalk is one of two explanations. Either that it's only able to reach the stalk by means of a ruach shena mitsuya, a not normal wind, or for Rav Ashi, the cases where it's a case of tamen, you cover over the grain. The third case of hiring false witnesses, it can't be that you're hiring them for yourself. It must be that you're hiring them to help your money, to help your friend extract money from somebody else. The fourth case, where you know testimony for your friend and you don't give it, that's not where we're talking about two witnesses. We're talking about one witness, and where he's trying to impose a shavua, that he doesn't owe the money, and that if he doesn't make the shavua, he's going to have to pay. And so the Gemara asks, well, I thought that there are five other cases in Shas that are discussed by the Tanaim, where we say that you're patur min dinei adam v'chayv b'din shemayim. The case of doing work with mechatas or paras chatas. The case of putting poison in front of your friend's animal. The case of sending a fire with a cheshot v'katan that ultimately burns somebody's items down. The case of frightening your friend where you cause him to go deaf. And the case of leaving your broken flask or the fallen camel in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the Chacham says you're patur min dinei adam v'chayv b'din shemayim. The Gemara says, no, you're right. There are many cases of in Shas where you're patur min dinei adam v'chayv b'din shemayim. Why is Rav Yeshua highlighting these ones? Because you would have thought that you're not even chayv b'din shemayim. And we go through, we say, why it is that you would have thought? For the Peretz gutter, you would say that the wall was ready to be knocked down to fall down anyway. For the case of bending the stalk, you would have thought for the first explanation, why should I have to anticipate that there's going to be a ruach shena metsuya? And for Rav Ashi, maybe you have the argument that you were covering over to help your friend so that the fire doesn't burn it down so easily. And for the case of hiring witnesses, you would have thought, well, you have an argument of divrei rav, divrei tamad, divrei mishomen. Why do they eidei sheker? Why am I responsible for them giving false testimony in court? And for the final case of knowing the eidus for your friend, you might have had the argument that, well, who says that my testimony would have been effective in court? Maybe the defendant would have sworn falsely. Okay. Let's wrap up the Gemara with the last discussion over here, where we discuss the case of Nifritza Balayla or Shepertua Listim. So we said in the Mishnah that if it's broken open at night somehow, the fence gets broken down in the middle of the night, or Listim break open the fence, then the halacha is if the animal goes out on its own, you are going to be putter. So Rabba walks into Shir, and Rabba says as follows, Amar Rabba, Vuhu Shechatra. The case is specifically where it dug, where it tunneled, and where it loosened the foundation, and that caused the fence to topple over. That's the circumstances in which we say that Nifritza Balayla, you're going to be putter. Why? Why should it be putter? So Rashi explains, because this is a case of an anus, which we would loosely translate as like a mishap, but it was a wild circumstance. Avalo chatra mai, but what would have been the halacha if it wouldn't have tunneled underneath and the fence would have fallen down all by itself? Then what would be the halacha? Chayiv. Then you would be liable. So the question is, well, wait a second, hekidami. Well, what exactly is the case over here? Ilema bakosa bari, if it's a healthy wall, it's a sturdy wall. Kilo chatra mai chayiv. And if it didn't dig, why on earth would you be chayiv? Mai havalei lemeva, what should you have done? This is a crazy case where the wall was a perfectly good wall, and for some reason it toppled over by itself. Must be we're discussing a shaky wall. Well then, wait a second. Now what you're telling me then is that if it's a shaky wall, the animal digs underneath, then you're going to be potter. But if it fell on its own, then you're going to be chayim. Well then, wait a second. Ki chatra amai potter. Why is it that when it digs underneath, you should be potter? It starts out as a case of negligence because it's a shaky wall that you're using to guard your animal, but and ultimately ends up as an onus. But if it's chilaso b'pshia, the presumption is that if it starts off as negligence, why on earth should it be putter? So Gemara says, wait a second. We know that there's a famous machlokas about this. It's all good according to the position. Chilaso b'pshia v'sofa b'onus is putter. Right? We know there's a machlokas if you say that when it starts off as negligence and ends off as an onus, it's a machlokas if it should be putter. So if you learn that you're putter for such a case, so that makes sense why in our Mishnah, if we're dealing with a rickety wall, with a shaky wall, I can understand why you'd be potter. But if you learn like the other position, that when it starts off as negligence, even though it ends off as an onus, you're still going to be chayiv. Well, Michael Maimer, what are you going to say? Why is it that you should be liable? So the truth is that our Mishnah is discussing a healthy, sturdy wall, and even if you didn't tunnel underneath, that's still what we're talking about. Well, then the question is, well, wait a second, I thought we said that if you're talking about a sturdy wall, then if it didn't tunnel, if it didn't dig, then why should he be chayiv? What else should he have done? So Gemara says, no. Really, Rabba wasn't qualifying this part of the Mishnah. Remember, Rabba just walks in and all he says is, v'hu shechatra. The case is where you dug underneath. Well, what case is he qualifying? So we assumed he was qualifying the case of Nifritza Balayla. The key itmar to Rabba, well, regarding what was Rabba's statement said, as seifa itmar, he was commenting on the seifa, hanicha b'chama, where he left it in the sun. If you left your animal in the pen in the sun, oshim masara l'chir shot v'katan, or you handed over the animal to be entrusted with a deaf mute, a person who's halachically insane, or a katan, v'yatzas v'hizika, an animal got out and damaged, chayiv, you're going to be liable. So now Rabba qualifies that statement in the Mishnah, and Rabba says, I'm a Rabba, v'afilu chatra, even in a case where the animal dug, you're still going to be liable. And even when we're dealing with a sturdy wall, you're still going to be liable. Why are you going to be liable? Isn't it a crazy case? Isn't it an onus? Why should you have to have anticipated that? So Gemara says, Lomi baye hecha delo chatra de kulub b'pshiyehu. It goes without saying that where it didn't dig, where it's entirely pshia, then of course, if it's lo chatra, it's all pshia. So then el afilu chatra, even if it did dig, nami, you're still going to be liable. Now, the same, what do you thought to say? You would have thought to say that when you left it in the sun, that's a pshia, that's negligence. Ultimately, it ended up as an onus because the animal dug. The chiddush over here is, the rabbi is telling us that this is entirely considered negligence from start to finish. Leaving it out in the sweltering heat, that's a pshia, and the animal digging is also part of that pshia. My taima, why should that be? to Amarleh, because he would tell him, Medi Yadat, you certainly have known, you would definitely know the Kivin de Shavak the Bechama, because you left it out in the sun, called Tatzdika, the Islil Mevid, any tactic, any shtick that the animal is able to do in order to escape this terrible state that it's in, of the Vinafak. Vinafka, it's going to do and it's going to get out. So you should have anticipated that if you're leaving the animal in the sun, baking out in the boiling sun, it's going to do whatever it can in order to escape its environment. Okay, so just to summarize this very last point, we know that Rabba walked in and qualifies one part of the Mishnah, telling us that when the animal tunnels, when it's digging underneath, that's the case where you're going to be pata. But if it wouldn't have tunneled, then you're going to be liable. The question is, what's he qualifying? So the Gemara's first part, we say that he's qualifying the case of Nifritza Balayla, where if it gets broken out, so then we say in this case, when it's tunneling, so then specifically when it's tunneling, that's where we say that you're going to be Potter. But if it wasn't tunneling, you're going to be Chayv. So we say, well, wait a second, what's the case? Can't be a sturdy wall, because if it's a sturdy wall, what'd you do wrong? So it must be that it's a shaky wall. Well, if it's a shaky wall, then it's Chilas of Shivas of Bonus. So that only makes sense. According to Amar, Chilas of Shivas of Bonus is Potter. But if you learn Chilas of Shivas of Bonus is Chayv, then why should that be the case? What's going on in our Mishnah? So we say, really, Rabba is qualifying the Seifa. Rabba is just qualifying the case of where you left out in the sun. And the Chiddush is that even if it dug, you're still going to be liable because it's entirely Shia. Because leaving it out in the sun, you should have known that the animal is going to do whatever it takes in order to escape the circumstances it finds itself in.